The following is a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio. Want the real story behind the sound bites and headlines? Let's find the facts. Remember, it's not a conspiracy theory if it's the truth. You are not paranoid or confused. You just need to know.
Welcome in, everybody. Kip Kiefer with you here on TKR with another edition of Everything You Need to Know. And man, is there a bunch that you need to know today? I'm sure that most of you already know much of the headlines and sound bites and some of the things that are not being said about the couple of things we're going to talk about today. We need to start with something that everyone is
with. Hey, Kip.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're cutting out big time.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it is cutting out. Huh. It is cutting out big time.
I wonder why.
Now you sound fine. But when you were talking, it was cutting out every second or third word.
Okay.
You sound fine now. Let's let it rip again. Well, take it from the you got into the first
sentence. I only had a minute in, so that's fine.
Yeah, I don't know why. Okay, go ahead.
Welcome in, everybody. Kip Kiefer with you for another edition of Everything You Need to Know here on TKR. Hope you had a great weekend. First of all, have to start out by wishing my very best, sincere, best thoughts and wonderful memories for my own mother, to all of you mothers out there. There's nothing more miraculous, and Tony and I covered this a couple of weeks ago when we got together on Kiefer and Curry and talked about the cornerstone women in our lives. But our mothers, of course, high on that list, as everybody certainly should have that distinction. It was a tough year for me. It's the first time since I've been on this earth that a Mother's Day has rolled around. And my mother is not here any longer after losing her in February. Yesterday, May 14th, was also her birthday. So really kind of a double hit on that day. But got through it just fine with lots of great memories and lots of great recall of so many things that she meant to me. And it's really made me even more appreciative. I tried to reach out to just about all the prominent moms as far as relationships in my life and found that to be a gratifying substitute yesterday. So to all of you listening, happy Mother's Day. You're remarkable. I think all of you are America's great heroes, and I have most unlimited respect for each and every one of you. Let's talk about some big time issues here that I'm sure you are aware of, maybe not to the extent that you should be aware of, because a lot of these items don't get any real coverage or attention from what is laughingly referred to as the mainstream media, which we talked about media here a couple of weeks ago on Need to Know, of how it has transformed from looking for facts to establish the truth to establishing the truth and trying to make up facts that aren't facts, because the very definition of the word is irrefutable fact that creates a conclusion. So you're not probably hearing a whole lot about what's happening on our southern border. The Title 42 health restriction that limited people trying to cross in at legal checkpoints, of course, it did nothing to slow down the unbelievable volume of people pouring into this country illegally. Many who are accosted by the overmatched border agents and representatives from the government that are there basically to push paperwork and hand out way in the future court dates for hearings on asylum. And I'll get into that in a minute. But Title 42 resulted in being expired on late Thursday night, early Friday morning, had resulted in tens of thousands of migrants from as many as 170 different countries lining up literally to try and process themselves and get into the United States. And in the process, if somebody does come in and check in with an immigration official, they are handed a piece of paper that gives them a court date. And most of those dates now, with the backlog that this has been going on for 2 years since Biden became president, a lot of they showed on several news shows this week, close-up copies of those paper of that paperwork. And what you see is that these hearings are set for September 2027 or sometimes earlier, August 2026. I mean, folks, that is the only thing that is required for somebody to come into the country, to be handed one of these future court dates, and then, okay, off you go. Knock yourself out. Have a great experience in the country. If you've arrived with not a penny to your name and don't know where to go, we will transport you to wherever you would desire. We will try to get you all the assistance we can to set you up in housing and perhaps a job. I mean, it's really a great humanitarian gesture. Unfortunately, when you're talking about millions of people coming into this country, and again, I've said it before here on the show, I don't begrudge anyone looking for a better life or more opportunity. Of course, that's a powerful motivator. But a country that, even within our country, the controlling party and so many of the corporate representatives that have all of the wealth and power, all of these indoctrinated silver spoon graduates from Ivy League schools and our major media all tell you how horrible and corrupt and morally bankrupt and how terrible our country is. And yet, these people from all over the world are lured here because their perception is this is the land of plenty and the unlimited opportunity, and that we are in such a strong position that we can just facilitate millions of people. This, folks, to put it very frankly, is the greatest invasion in the history of the world. And when I say that, I'm talking, of course, in military terms predominantly, because that's what invasions used to be. But don't be fooled. This is an organized invasion. It's not happening by just chance or happenstance. This is a choreographed situation that these people, because ask yourself this question. We've got people showing up from Africa and the Middle East and Haiti and Venezuela and throughout South America. These people do not walk from Tripoli, Libya, or from Ghana, or just pick a spot, Syria. These people showing up at the border do not make that journey on foot. It would be kind of tough to do so, crossing all of the oceans and different seaways that are involved. Not to mention the fact that it would probably take them several years if they did have a clear path to even get close. So what's happening is, through this nasty little network of information, people are being solicited and really invited to come here. Even our president, when he was approaching inauguration, basically said, everyone's welcome. It sent a message internationally that the border's open, come on in, and we're going to fix you up when you get here. Of course, I think the experience they're going to have is not necessarily in that order, because you reach a point from an infrastructure standpoint, and we're getting there now, and really what's working against this agenda by this progressive globalist, corporate plutocracy that we now see in control, basically government by the wealthy, for the wealthy, and of the wealthy. We're seeing it start to unravel because all of these virtue signaling left-wing mayors and district attorneys and all the people that are in power in all of our major cities in the country are all now running to the podium every day crying how they can't take anymore. Now, isn't that the ultimate irony? We're a sanctuary city. Come on, come to New York, come to Chicago, come to Philadelphia. Well, unfortunately for them, they are now overrun with people sleeping in the streets. Crime is rampant because you've got a lot of desperate people now with no means and no other options. So you've got an all-time high, not only in shoplifting and theft and outright robbery of American citizens, but you've also got, of course, violent crime on a sharp increase. So all of these, and let's use New York, the mayor there comes forward and says, no more. We can't take any more immigrants. We don't have any more room. They've already stuffed a bunch of the hotels in the city full. It's an absolute disaster. And economically, it cannot continue. And I think that's the correlation to kind of comparing this to a military operation, because the puppet masters behind the scenes pulling the strings here are organizing this invasion. They are flying these people from all over the world to Mexico and putting them on buses and taking them right to the area of the American border. This is not some kind of straggling along in the desert migration. This is, again, this is a choreographed, very organized effort to bring as many people in to do two things. They don't come in with firepower. They're not, it's not a military invasion in the sense that they're armed with weapons and are waging war, but the weapons at their disposal by their sheer numbers is the complete disruption of American society, the operations of some of our most important major cities, and also the complete and utter economic strain this is putting on not only the federal government, which of course is in a ridiculous amount of debt, over $20 trillion, but now state and local municipalities are absolutely getting hammered and bankrupted by having to deal with this problem and having to back up their claims that all these people are welcome in their cities. That they're about busted now, and it's getting worse and worse. Plus, the citizens who elected these morons that completely are unrealistic about the realities of what they were claiming they could provide. These people now are stepping up and said, "This is ridiculous. Somebody has to do something. The city's ruined. It's a disaster." I mean, you're starting to see it implode from within. And I don't know what the resolution's going to be, but this country will very likely, by the end of this year, have absorbed about 8 million people in the 2 years of the Biden administration. And by the time the next election rolls around in 2024, that number may be well over 10 million. And it's the most massive invasion force in the history of the world. And it just is not sustainable. And how it becomes resolved, or if it becomes resolved, I don't know. But this is playing right into the hands of the people that want to see this country collapse, the great experiment that is America, government that is of the people, by the people, for the people. They want it gone. They want the American wealth and resources and power, and they want America removed. As the great, as Ronald Reagan said, shining city on the hill, all of the European factions of old money and old world kind of lineage, we've talked about them here on the show before. And of course, there are other very nefarious partners, the Chinese Communist Party, who is just on its expanding with all of the founding principles of their government that Mao instituted back in the mid 20th century, all of the pledges to the greatness of the communist system, where it's one central collective, one massive government that calls all the shots and makes all the decisions for its citizenry. For them to be in the middle of all of this chaos and financing and facilitating so much of it for the reason of economic gain. So it is the ultimate hypocritical state, the hypocrisy of a pure communist system being the ultimate aspiring capitalists who want total economic control of the entire globe and to dictate all of those policies is something that's really inconceivable if you stop and think about it. And then, of course, you've got the George Soros, who's an offshoot from that European kind of elitism. His foundations and veiled charitable organizations and all the things he funnels hundreds of millions of dollars into, that's who's paying for all of this recruiting of all of these mostly single men, young men from all over the world that are pouring into this country. And I mean, what is going to be the result of that? There's nothing good that can result. People say, you know, America's strength is its diversity. Well, America's strength isn't its diversity when it's a bunch of people that are looking for government assistance to sustain themselves. That is not something that can possibly stand for very long, and it's just a road to disaster. So keep an eye on what's happening there. Thank goodness Governor Abbott in Texas finally realized that the federal government was just going to stand back and let these people pour in. They weren't even giving them that paperwork because there were so many of them, they were overwhelmed. A judge ruled on Friday that they cannot just release people into the streets without any kind of processing. That violates the Constitution. But hey, they don't like that part of the Constitution. So let's just pretend it's not there. And that's another thing in our society and with our system is not sustainable to just pick and choose what laws you're going to adhere to. So this president, his administration, and anyone in Congress who is supporting this mass importation of new citizens with the idea, and this is as perverse as it is, they can't wait to figure out a way to scheme and get these people to the ballot box every election day because they figure they're importing millions and millions of new Democrat voters. And it's as simple as that for the motivation of a lot of these people. So it's really a horrible tragedy that's happening in our country. And it's going to result in our degradation, deterioration, and ultimately it's going to take America as we know it and love it, all the founding principles, all the traditions. We are going to be transformed into a third world country. And you might think that's an extreme prediction, but if you look at it with any kind of common sense and look at it logically, that's the only path that was going to lead to our ultimate destiny if we don't step up and do something dramatic right now to stop this. And once again, the Biden administration, the first priority was to get rid of every single policy that was working from the Trump administration just to appease their controlling now extremely left-wing progressive base. And so the first thing that had to go was any kind of enforcement or security on the border. The situation was well in hand when they took over. And now, by design, it is an absolute nightmare. Okay, quickly, I'm going to transition to a couple other things that are in the headlines. Let's play a little game here. Remember the show? Dick Clark used to be the late, great Dick Clark of American Bandstand and New Year's Eve fame. He also hosted a game show for many, many years called the $10,000 pyramid. I think it was up to like $50,000 or $100,000 pyramid. But remember that the premise of the show was you gave your partner clues and they had to guess what the category was. So I'm going to give you a few clues and see if you can guess the category. Okay, let's see. The political opinions of Joy Behar and Whoopi Goldberg. Pet rocks. A deflated basketball. Let's see. Kip Kiefer's romantic pursuits. And the Biden administration. And finally, congressional hearings. Take a minute. Guess the category on those clues. And if you think about it, you'll come up with the right answer. Things that are useless. That's the category. And I'm particularly locked in on the congressional hearings, which I think are the biggest waste of time and news time in the history of the world. These guys call these hearings with all of this, all the pre-press conferences. We're going to do this, and we're going to establish that, and we're going to get to the bottom. That's their favorite. We're going to get to the bottom of this issue. And they call these things, and all the press shows up, and they all cram in a big meeting room, and every senator on both sides or congressman on both sides of the aisle have their five-minute time, which they don't really ask questions of the witnesses. They basically make a speech to try and further their own political ambitions. And they argue back and forth about procedures. And then the hearing is adjourned. There's a little bit of news on it, but nothing really ever happens. Last week was the primary example because the House Oversight Committee, the House now controlled by Republicans, so they are trying to do a thorough investigation on the Biden crime family, who has been exposed by whistleblowers and other information sources. It has now become absolute legitimate information that the Biden family over the last 15 or 20 years has received direct payments to 9 different family members, including minor grandchildren, would get checks from these almost 19 that they know of companies that have been set up as shadow operations, these Biden family LLC companies that are do not have physical locations, do not have any particular or any business whatsoever in terms of a product or a service. They are basically companies set up through bank accounts with various names in various cities all around the country. And money from all kinds of foreign entities, companies, different concerns, and particularly governments and either current officials or former officials are funneled into these bank accounts by the millions of dollars. And then those accounts are paid out sometimes through cashier's checks to the president's grandchildren, his daughters-in-law, his brothers, his sister and her children. 9 different Bidens have received checks from these LLC companies, which again have no products or services. The masterminds behind this, of course, is James Biden, Jimmy Biden, who nobody even knows about, Joe Biden's brother, and his son, Hunter Biden, who's kind of the front man in all the organization of this, which he finds time to do, despite the fact that he spends an awful lot of time involved with drugs and strippers and illegitimate children, etc. So it's a big mess. It is a crime family in the vein of what we saw back in the 1930s. They're just shadow operations. Their business is basically influence peddling, selling to foreign entities access to Joe Biden and hopefully policy turning decisions by him when he was vice president. And now to think that he is the president of the United States is a horrible thought. But anyway, to get to the point here, because we're running short on time already, the congressional guys got together last week and said, Wednesday is going to be just this major day. We're going to release this document that we have subpoenaed and are going to be getting from the FBI, And it is a investigative report that they have compiled that we have found out exists through whistleblowers that they have just put in a file and put in a drawer and got rid of it because they don't want to bring it forward because it's going to expose so much of the Bidens and all the different people that have been involved in setting up this phantom network of money laundering. And the FBI, I mean, the congressional people said, we'll have that document and we're going to release it and we're going to just show the American people what they deserve to know. Well, guess what? The deadline rolled around on Tuesday of last week. The FBI did not cough up that paperwork. And Christopher Wray, the director of the FBI, a Donald Trump appointee, and I've said it before here on the show, Donald Trump is an absolute powerhouse for a leader and does the right things in terms of policy and interpretation and solution of problems. But as far as hiring personnel, Donald Trump was a disaster. He put in so many and made so many bad decisions on people to surround himself with. And Christopher Wray is right at the top of the list, a Trump appointee who blocks everything that the FBI is supposed to do if it hurts the big government swamp, which always is an organism when anytime it's threatened, rallies to protect itself, Republican, Democrat, whatever. The entity of the federal government in Washington is their first priority, not you, the citizens of the United States of America. So the FBI refuses to give up the document, which Congress subpoenaed. This committee has that power. If you get a subpoena and you just say, I'm ignoring this, I'm not going to, forget it, I'm not complying with this. Guess what? Marshals come to your door and haul you away. If you're a Republican and get a subpoena and don't adhere to it, guess what? They're going to come and haul you away. But what happens to the FBI when Christopher Wray says we're not going to cooperate because this is an ongoing investigation? Of course, that ongoing investigation has been going on for 4 years with absolutely no action whatsoever from the Department of Justice or the FBI. So he just said, we're not giving it to you. So now Congress has made all these promises that they're going to reveal all of this great information, and they're told that they're not going to get it. And what is their response? What teeth do they have to enforce these things? Well, basically, they just shrug and say, well, we're going to keep working on this, and they're going to cooperate because we've subpoenaed these documents. They have to turn them over. Well, folks, if there's no implications of not cooperating, why are they going to turn them over? It's just laughable. It's the reason that, you know, crime is so rampant in the country right now, because these progressive DAs say, well, we're not going to prosecute these minor crimes. If it's under $1,000 they steal, you know, we're not going to pursue that. We're not going to put people in jail for, you know, small time crimes, you know, like robbery and theft and destruction of property and assault. No big deal. No harm, no foul. That's the attitude we have. If they're not implications for not complying to congressional subpoenas, God help us. In all aspects, we are just living in a disorderly and dysfunctional society all of a sudden. And somebody needs to get into positions of power and clean all this mess up, because it's just ridiculous that the FBI can ignore an order from the committee elected by the people that is responsible for overseeing their operations. It's not something they want released, so they just sit on it and don't comply. And there's no penalty for them having that attitude. So that's a couple of things I wanted to bring you up to date on. Do your own reading, do your own research. It's all things, again, that all Americans need to know, because our very way of life is being threatened here, and everybody just kind of sticking their head in the sand and just hoping it's going to go away is really kidding themselves. Americans need to rise up together. And again, this is not about any particular variety of American. Joe Biden said yesterday in a speech that while he was, by the way, while he was out biking in Delaware with a ridiculous helmet and sunglasses on, he looked like a comic strip character. He said, you know, they asked him, there are terrorists coming across the border on the FBI watch list that just are walking into the country now. How long is it going to be until there's going to be a major incident? And Joe Biden's response was, well, the biggest terrorist threat we have in this country is white supremacy. I'm going to use one of Joe Biden's lines. Come on, man. Nobody's buying that banana. It's total BS. White supremacy is not a problem in this country. And when I say all Americans, I mean all Americans. I want every American. I don't care what gender. I don't care what color. I don't care what religion. I don't care what your sexual preference is. If you're an American, you're on my team, and I want us all to thrive and be successful. So give me a break on this white supremacy garbage, because that's exactly what it is. Real quick, one final example. A commentator, Kendrick Perkins, an African-American retired NBA player, on one of the ESPN shows said last week that the only reason that Jokic, the great player for the Denver Nuggets, has won back-to-back MVPs before Joel Embiid won this year for the Philadelphia 76ers. He said the only reason Jokic has won is because he's white. He's from one of the Russian satellites, Serbia, the former Yugoslavia. That's just so ridiculous. So writers and executives and other players are voting for him because he's white in a league that's 80% black. That's the most ridiculous comment of all time. When I watch the Olympics, I don't go, okay, I'm going to root for this Russian and this Norwegian over our American guys because they're white and the American guys are black. That's absolutely garbage. It's so ridiculous. It's beyond belief. So I'm going to leave you with that thought. Don't miss this week's version of Kiefer and Curry. We're having a great time doing that show. It'll be up and running, I think, as early as tomorrow. So check the schedule here on TKR. I always like visiting with all of you, and I hope a couple of things registered today. But do your own research. Make your own decisions. Common sense needs to be applied. To heck with the vaccines. Pfizer needs to come up with something that instills common sense in us all before it's too late. Thanks, everybody. Have a great week. We will talk to you soon, hopefully on a more optimistic note next week. I'm Kip Kiefer. Talk to you next time.
This has been a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio.